In addition to the celebration that we've had here at Easter, we thought, let's push the envelope of comfortability just a little bit in order to try to give something that we hope will be extremely helpful for everybody. So that said, I'm going to ask you to help me out a little bit. Won't embarrass anybody, so you don't have to worry about that at all, but just want you to participate with me just a little bit. How many here would say that you have heard of a person named Jesus? Can I see your hands? All right, good. Okay, let me take it up a step. How many would say that you believe in Jesus, that Jesus was a real person of history? Can I see your hands? Everybody? Balcony? Great. Okay. Last one. How many would say that you believe that Jesus died for the sins of the world and then rose again the third day from the grave? Can I see your hands? Okay. Now, if you can't raise your hand there, no worries. I'm glad you're here, part of the conversation that we're having and taking place right now. One of the most well-known verses of the Bible, by far, would be John chapter 3, verse number 16. In fact, you've probably seen, you know, pictures like this at some time or another if you've attended any sporting event at all. And though it is the most well-known verse of the Bible, it can also be one of the most misunderstood verses. The verse actually says this, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So as you read that, is it fair to reason that if you believe in Jesus, Jesus would say you are good to go? I mean, good to go to heaven, good to go in life. Fair statement, you believe in Jesus, you're good to go. Yes? Now, here's where it's really important to take note. In the Bible, every time the word believe is used, it always means to trust. Today, not so. In other words, we've separated those two apart. You can believe, but not trust in something. When we say we believe, we're saying we give intellectual credence or credibility to something, to some fact, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to choose to put our trust in that. Example, if I were to ask today, how many here would say that you believe in parachutes? All right. But if I were to say, how many today would be willing to put your trust in one? See those hands. The wild ones, right? Okay. Wasn't long ago that I moved from believing or faith in something to actually trust in it. Here's what it was like for me.
We are about to experience the difference between faith and trust.
I don't know if I've been this close to God in a long time, but we're going to put trust to the test.
I know the whole world is watching now.
I'm
going to have 650 miles per hour. Speed 700.
Oh, the rush is still just setting in right now.
I had faith that it would work, but I had to put my trust in Ted, the equipment.
Now I can tell you, when it comes to skydiving, it's a lot like marriage. Thrilling, terrifying, all at the same time that you're going through it. Now, if you ever choose to go through this experience, you can believe up to the very last moment but then choose not to trust. Here's what I mean by that. They let you know that you are in control up to the very time that you step out of the plane. So they will say, before we again move out, you are to give one of two signs. You can give this sign. Know what that means? Take me back in the airplane. Right? You believe, but the trust thing's not there. Or you can do this. And if you do this, it's the last thing you're going to remember for about 3-4 seconds. Because they won't give you the opportunity to rechange your mind that way. That's the way it is in life. Believing, trusting for us, it's two very, very different things. You can believe in Jesus like you believe in George Washington, like you believe in Abraham Lincoln, and it not change you at all. You can go through your whole life believing in Jesus, yet not trusting in him. Like if you're part of the Muslim faith, you would believe in Jesus, you would just choose not to trust in him. The statement, believing in Jesus won't change you, or believing in Jesus won't save you. And first, like, that's heretical, isn't it? Till we understand, again, what the Bible says, it's when we trust, that's what changes us. That's what makes a difference in our lives. And now, understanding this trust dynamic will help us with understanding the very short lesson that we want to look at from the Bible today. So if you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to take it and turn to John chapter 20. If you didn't bring one, there should be Bibles scattered all throughout the auditorium. Try and find one nearby you and turn with me to page 1686, which will bring you to John chapter 20. In John 20, there's actually four different resurrection accounts, events that take place here. And I encourage you, if you get time today, go back, read through the whole chapter. A lot of good stuff that's here. We're going to pick it up, though, in verse 24, with an individual by the name of Thomas, a.k.a. Doubting Thomas. You've heard of Doubting Thomas, yes? All right, here's kind of the lowdown on Doubting Thomas. Verse 24. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, put my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand. Put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord, my God." And Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed." Now, before you put your Bible down, if you're just glancing down there, in those 10 short sentences, there is so much more that has taken place in this week, this Sunday to Sunday time period. We get just this, you know, the abbreviation of it. So keep that in mind for the next couple of moments. The whole scene sets up on Easter Sunday, the first Easter Sunday. The disciples were gathered in a room. Jesus appears to them, but Thomas wasn't with them. Now, you may go like, well, where was Thomas? Why wasn't Thomas there? Well, as many of us know, when pain or disappointment or depression comes into our life, we go into isolation. We just don't want to be around people. We just pull away. A lot of us in here probably like that, right? I mean, difficult things, times of depression, difficulty, loss in your life. It's just like, I don't want to be around people. I just want to be alone, or you isolate yourself. That wasn't good for Thomas. It's never good for us. You know, one of those side lessons to learn. In the times that you don't want to be around people, those are times, again, it's important for us to open ourselves up to people, because that's what God is going to use, those situations, to be able to help us in our life. But Thomas wasn't there. So the disciples, having experienced Jesus resurrected, immediately say, We got to find Thomas. We got to tell Thomas, because everybody was there except Thomas. So they went off looking for him. They may have had to go from Jerusalem halfway back to Galilee to be able to find Thomas, but finally they do. And when they do, they're like, Thomas, good news. He's alive. We've seen Jesus alive. And Thomas's response, you know, he's thinking, that's just too good to be true. Or maybe he's thinking, then why didn't he appear to me? What's wrong with me that Jesus wouldn't have appeared to me, but he did to you? So whatever's going on in his mind right now, you get this knee-jerk reaction of Thomas. This, you know, protection, this, well, if I don't see him, then I'm not going to believe. I want to put my fingers in his hands. I want to put my hand into his side. Now, how do you know those things? Because he'd been listening to what the disciples just said. And they said, we put our fingers in his hands. We put our hands into his side. It's really him. And he's just like, if I can't, then I'm not. Now, this is where it's important for us just to pause and take a little bit of inventory about what do we know? So that we're going to get a clear picture of what it is the Bible actually wants us to have. You know, it teaches us here. Did Thomas believe in Jesus? Yes or no? Yeah, sure he did. He spent 3 years with him. He'd seen the things that he had done. He believed in Jesus. Did Thomas believe that God could raise someone from the dead? Yes or no? Yeah, he did, because he'd seen it a few weeks earlier. You know, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He'd been there 4 days when he was raised from the dead. Did Thomas believe the Bible? Sure, he believed the Bible. You know, he'd been with Jesus. He'd listened to him. That's one of the reasons why he was chosen that way. And he'd been listening to the things that the disciples said that Jesus had told them. This is what the Old Testament says. Messiah has to come and be crucified, has to be, you know, buried and resurrected again, and showed him the different passages from the Old Testament that way, the prophecies that were being fulfilled. You see, Thomas didn't have a believing problem. Thomas had a trusting problem at this point in his life. So, fast forward to the next Sunday, 1 week later. They're in a room alone. Jesus reappears to them. Now, again, very important to take a quick note here. Jesus never appeared to anyone in order to prove himself. At no time among all the people that he appeared to, never appeared to prove I am or I have. He only appeared to people that trusted him to affirm, to strengthen that trust and faith. So what had happened? Over the last week, Thomas, who stayed then with the disciples, had listened to their different individual accounts of Jesus and the resurrection. He'd spent time thinking about his last 3 years with Jesus and all the things that Jesus had said to him. He spent time looking at the Bible himself. All of this before this appearance to Jesus. None of them had any idea that Jesus was going to be reappearing over the next 40 days. You see, it was before Jesus reappeared that Thomas had come to this conclusion. It's true. I am going to trust it even though I missed my opportunity to see him. Then Jesus appears. Says to him, hey Thomas, bring your fingers here. Jesus didn't say that to Thomas to shame him. Jesus didn't shame anyone into anything throughout his ministry. God's method is not shame. When you feel shame in your life today, it is not of God. He was saying, I know what you said. I know what you've been, you know, thinking and going through. And as you've trusted me, I want you to know that I'm here for you. See, the question that Jesus was putting before him is not, are you ready to believe? But are you fully trusting? To which Thomas is going, yes, I will, I am, I have. And that continues to be the key, the spiritual catalyst for us today. Let me tie things up. One quick observation, little note there, and then two applications. from what it is that Jesus put before us. Architecturally, there is a name for this piece or this stone right here. Anybody know what you call this? This is a what? Yeah, it's a keystone, right? It's when an arch is being built up on both sides, you put the keystone in place and it holds it in place. Just got back from Israel. We'd seen arches there with the keystone. They've been there literally thousands and thousands of years. Spiritually, the Bible tells us there is a keystone for us, that is, individually. And the keystone, spiritually speaking, is trust. It's believing the evidence of God and acting on it. It's almost like you've got, here's all the evidences here, truths on one side. Here's our choices and, you know, the situations we're facing, whether or not we're going to act on it on the other side. And it's when trust is put in place, that's when you have this spiritual structure in place that you're able to actually lean into or have God working in your life, through your life with. So, with regards to believing in trust, the first application that all of us want to put before ourselves is this. Have I trusted Jesus? The question isn't, have I believed in Jesus, but have I trusted in him? And when you think about, just using that analogy again of parachuting, before you can trust fully in the parachute, you have to detrust something else, right? You have to give up trust in something else to fully trust the parachute. If you're going to fully trust the parachute, you're going to have to give up trust in what? Your seat on the airplane. Yeah, fear, no, it's with you the whole time. I ain't going anywhere, right? But you got to give up your seat. You got to be willing to step out that way. Spiritually speaking, all of us have something that we are trusting in to be accepted by God today. If I rephrased it, put it this way. If you were to stand before God today, and he were to say to you, why should I let you into heaven? The answer you would give him would be, maybe. I've been baptized. I'm a member of the church. I've been raised in a Christian family. Some of us would say, I'm a Christian. In other words, if you asked me today, what religion are you? I'd say, I'm a Christian. That's what that's a sign I'd hang around my neck. So as a Christian, I think you would want to let me in. Some of us say, well, I've tried to live my life in a good way. My life, there's more good than bad that's been done. There's some bad, but there's more good, and the good outweighs the bad. So would you let me in, right? We're trusting in these things that God would say, yes, come on in. But to put your trust in Jesus, you're going to have to be willing to let go of your trust in all those things. And to say, Jesus, I trust what you did in the cross was sufficient, everything I need. In fact, you did for me what I couldn't do for myself. And I am going to put my complete trust in you and in you alone. For forgiveness, but also, as Bill talked about, this restored relationship, this being redeemed to God, for God's working in my life, that's where I'm trusting. That's going from believing to trusting in Jesus. We call it trusting Jesus as our Savior, as the one who saves us. The other application, spiritually speaking, to trusting is this. Am I trusting Jesus? Not have I trusted him as my Savior, but am I trusting him? In other words, as one who has trusted him as Savior, am I trusting him daily in my life? And you go like, well, sure. How do I know? Right? How many have somebody you take your car to? How many have a mechanic? You got a mechanic? All right. If I were to ask you, how many believe in your mechanic? All right, great. I don't even believe in mechanic. Now, you know what I'm going to ask you next. How many trust your mechanic? Well, the answer to that isn't, do you talk about him? It's, do you do what he says? Right, what he tells you. In other words, he brings you the news. You're in there for routine maintenance. It always happens during routine maintenance, by the way. You're in for routine maintenance. And he comes out and says, I got some bad news. There's a problem in your engine. We're going to have to take the whole thing apart because if we don't and fix this, your whole car's going to be toast. Good for nothing. He goes, now I know you can't hear it, see it, or you don't feel it while you're driving down the road right now. Oh, and by the way, it's going to be really expensive. Do you want me to do the repair? How you answer that question shows whether or not you what? Yeah, whether or not you trust him at that point. So it is with Jesus. Do we do the things that we know he wants us to do? Easter's a time of new beginnings. It's a time, again, to know where we're at, to know how to go forward from where we are. You got to know where you are to be able to know what's my next step, right? So I'd like to ask everybody, if you would, please, grab, there's actually two cards in your program. You can take them both, but I just want you to look at this one right now. It says, believe, trust on the back. Looks, you know, looks just like this. And I want to ask you, would you put where you are today on your card? You may be. Box one, I'm not sure what I believe about God or Jesus. And as I said before, there's no shame in that. We do things like starting point. We have conversations around here. That's how a lot of people come to Fox River. I'm just not sure what I believe, if I believe anything. But you go like, but that's where I am today. That's me. All right? Box two would be, I believe in Jesus. And you'd say, I do. I believe in him. Box three, I choose to trust Jesus today. This is where the light comes on. You know, today it's like, oh yeah, I believed in him, but I don't know if I've ever trusted him, so to speak. In fact, there's not a time I could remember that I specifically said, Jesus, I need what you did on the cross. I want to ask you to be my Savior. I've been in the believing, but I'm ready to move to the trusting point of you. Then you check that box and I'll actually help you with a prayer in just a moment. The last box is, I've trusted Jesus. And for those of us that have, again, it's important just to kind of benchmark it. When did that happen? Maybe like, you know, when I was with my mom as a child. Or maybe when I was in college. Or maybe you know a year, 2001. Or maybe you know a place. You know, as a church, and I realized this, and, you know, for you, whatever your kind of like benchmark would be, just kind of put, yeah, that own notation in there that way. And what I ask you to do then is, you know, put your name and contact information on the front, and just turn the cards in the baskets on the way out when you leave today. But it helps us, again, with knowing where we are, knowing where you are, to be able to continue to move forward to where Jesus wants us to be, to this working in our life to experience that way. Would you pray with me? As we realize how important trust is and the difference between believing and trusting, Jesus, our prayer today is this: I'm ready to move. I'm ready to move from believing to trusting. And that's what I'm going to do as best I know how. And if that's you, then just tell him that. That's what I want to do today, Jesus. If you have trusted him, then your prayer was probably, Jesus, help me to trust you daily now. Because you're trustworthy. To do the things you ask me, even though I may not understand it or see it all. We pray this prayer in the name of Jesus, dear Father. Amen.